Therefore, says the Sefer Chassidus, something fascinating, in the bottom two lines here. Lachein yispalel adam, person should daven, that anyone that's named after him, shakala nikraim b'shmai, yiyu behem midas tovus ha'ele, la'achas min ha'midas ha'ra'os, shriyikru zara ha'os, and shemidas ra'os tovus behem, the person should daven, that the people are actually going to bear his name in the future, should actually bear one's positive characteristics, and not the negative things that we know we have. And he says, and therefore you can have a situation where you have two people named after the same person, and one is a tzaddik and one is not. Because the hashpas can come down in different ways. It says this applies equally, of course, to women as well. V'chol inyanim eilin in the kevus. And therefore, parents should be very careful with the names that they use. In fact, one of the issues that we'll see as we go through, especially in Rav Moshe, is that the names that are used are covered for the mishpacha. Using the names of previous generations, we'll see how that actually factors into halacha, is a covered for the mishpacha. And in fact, the poskim write that sometimes it is better, rather than to have in mind to actually name after a certain person, if you name and look covered that person, which is the ikadin anyway, then the hashpas won't come down in a negative way. Because you're not bringing all that, however these things work, you're not bringing the hashpas in a full sense. Rather, really the main issue here is naming the covered. And if you name the covered, then you're protected. And this will come up la halacha. Someone wants to name after a non-from relative or a person that was not known as the greatest tzaddik, but it's still a covered to name after that person. Therefore, wants to name after Uncle Abe, so they name the child Avraham. One should have in mind, I'm naming after Avraham Avinu, and it's the covered Uncle Abe. Right, that's the eitzah that the poskim can give in order to really be yotze both, and to make sure there's a covered in the mishpacha, but also that the negative hashpas will not come through. Or if, for example, you have a person who was nifta at a young age, we add a name many times. There are those poskim that say if you're naming after a parent, because the schus of kibud av is arichas yamin, therefore there's no kpeda to add a name. Others argue, if one is naming a child after a parent that died young, they're different. Minhagim, there are different approaches here. But certainly if one names look covered and not after, one avoids that issue. The Noam Elimelech says, Rakshi Lif'amim, again, same thing, it's not Mukhrach, but Lif'amim, the name is Goyrem. Hainu Hashem Shu Nikra Kashem Adam Kasha V'yasha, Ze Goyrem La'adam Shu Tzadik. L'mashal, a person is called Avraham, and he wants to serve Hashem, the name itself is going to help him serve Hashem in the way that Avraham Avinu does. In fact, Alpi Kabbalah, it goes deeper. That there are those that say the name of the Ari, that even the gematria of a person's name can be mashpia on who they are. So presumably, on the basis of all of this, it should there should be a kpeda against giving a non-Jewish name to a child because of the hashpas shaboy. But what one could say, even at this stage, is you could give both. A person could be called Peter in his day-to-day life, and Pinchas when he's called to the Torah, really he's got a Jewish name. The fact he has a non-Jewish name won't necessarily affect any of these inyanim. However, the discussion really revolves around the Rambam. And it depends how one learns this Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kechavim tells us a halakha that we're very familiar with, but the post can take it in a certain direction. We don't go in the ways of the non-Jews. We don't appear like them. Malbush, not in the way that we dress. Not in the way that our hairstyles, the kiyotz of them, as it says. Why? Because a person has to be very careful. That we should be entrapped by them. We should follow them. Right? Rather, a Yisrael, a Jew, has to be identifiably Jewish. And we should look Jewish. And we should not just look Jewish, we should act Jewish. A person has to behave in the way that is befitting of the Yid. And I separated you off from the nations of the world. Therefore, one would not be allowed to wear an item of clothing that is specifically non-Jewish. A person is not allowed to shave in a way like one of the monks or the priests, etc., etc. Maram Shik, who's writing at the end of the 1800s, is crying out against the common practice at the time where people were giving their children non-Jewish names. Interestingly enough, the Maram Shik's father, was part of the generation of Jews in Eastern Europe where the Jews for the first time were legally obliged to adopt surnames. And these surnames were rolled out generally for tax purposes and administrative purposes over time in Eastern Europe. Until nowadays, where who doesn't have a surname? But they were rolled out, you know, until then, people were known by different kinuyim, where you were Ben this, you were the son of that. But by the mid-1800s already, they were rolling out everywhere, everyone was taking on surnames. And Kayadua, if a person was in a position of influence, they might be able to buy a nicer surname, or they were given out different ways in different countries. Maram Shik's father, the story says, was forced to give a surname, was forced to take a surname, he took the name Shik. What is Shik Rosh Yitevus for? Shem Yisrael Kadosh. Appropriate, therefore, that the Maram Shik is the one that takes a very strong stand against taking on a non-Jewish name, based on this Rambam, says the Maram Shik. Well, Adav Asher Shal Bnei Adam Shemechanan Atzim B'Shem Agoyim. And one proves, he proves from the Medrash, of course we know, as someone mentioned to me at the beginning, before the beginning of the Shem, we know that the Yidden Wachir was saved in Mitzrayim. One of the things that we have is Shleishin HaShmaisam, they took on the Jewish names. Shebizchus Shleishin HaShmam, Zachim HaLatzeis Mitzrayim. And it was taken, that was enough. But people say it's enough that you're called Cyril in the street and Chaim in Shul. But Ma Sheish Lehem Shem Yehudi Likreis on Boi La'alus Batera. And he says that's Hevel V'tipshus. Ki Bevadi Yesh Issa Da'iraisa, says the Maram Shem. Kamoish Yekazuf HaRambam, because he learns the Rambam. The Pasuk says, the Sayyid Parashas Kadosh and Va'abdiles Chemina Amen. And Hagam, it's true, the Rambam doesn't mention names. But one can certainly say, if you're meant to look different in the way that you dress, your name should be different too. V'abdiles Chemina Amen, yisli, u'misham yalfin b'sifri ra'u, misham l'damas l'am, b'shimayfin, not allowed to look at them in any way whatsoever. In fact, interestingly enough, if you carry on reading in the Chiv of the Maram Shik, he brings a Maisa Shahaya of one of the non-Jewish noblemen at the time, said to the Jewish people, I don't know, said to some of the Jews that he was interacting, I don't understand, you have such a noble heritage, why are you trying to copy us? However, the Mar Dasham in Yeridea Kuf Tzadites writes a tshuva to the Jews who had left Portugal and had been living as Maranos. They're living now in mainland Europe, and they want to know, are they allowed to use their Christian names that they'd used when they're in Portugal for correspondence? And he is Mater. He allows them to use their previous Portuguese names. Well, now they've left. They've left, and they were writing correspondence or whatever they wanted to know, about whatever interest they had about there. Can they use those previous names? He is Mater. The Ma is interesting. The Ma'arik in Peches says that it's mutter to use a non-Jewish name. The reason why is if your kavana is not to be like the nations of the world, and that just happens to be the name that you choose, that would not fall under the category of that which the Rambam forbids. That's the way the Ma'arik takes it. So you really have the whole range here. The Rogachava in Safnas Paneach, he has a slightly different approach. The Rogachava says that there are those that say, "Diyesh mitag yumin Hashem shalosh lakodesh, kama apesh b'loshen acher," like Arye, or you have Arye of Leib in a different language. He says all of these names, many of the names that we use, Sephardi names, the Arabic translations of loshen lakodesh, if it's a Hebrew name that's translated into another language, then that's not a problem. Rag heich dimitag yim shemay shalosh lakodesh, but biyur shaloshen leich paslan klal. So if a person has, a David becomes David, right? Or even a translator, or even a translation of it, that would be okay.
Surely that's the name of the Sefer.
Pardon?
Sophus Paneach.
Maybe, yes. Could be, but his name was Yosef. Right? His name was Yosef. Right? So he says there, if it's a translation of a name in Lashon HaKodesh, and presumably Kal V'chaymeh, transliteration of it, Daniel to Daniel, But he still says, "Avalim mishane l'shem acher vaday osa." Then it's for sure osa. So if there's a totally different name, then it's more of a problem. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a number of tshuvas on the issue, and he takes us on a wonderful. So this tshuva in Arachayim Chelik Ches Simen Yud is a fascinating, wonderful tshuva from many different perspectives. It gives us a real insight into Jewish history. It gives us an insight into the development of the language of Yiddish and Jewish culture at the time, and how they, in his opinion, how they adopted the various names that they did. But the first thing is the Rav Moshe's halachic stance. He refers us to a previous tshuva that he'd written in the previous chelek, where this was a person that wanted to name after a relative that had a common Jewish name that was of non-Jewish origin. And Rav Moshe mentions his Yesod there and repeats it here. Since they became common Jewish names, they certainly have the din of a Jewish name because it's been adopted by Klal Yisrael. Alexander. Got it in for you. Now, Alexander, right, is an example of a name that was adopted by Klal Yisrael. And therefore, if it was a name that has become part of Jewish culture, it will be considered a Jewish name. That's what Rav Moshe says. So Rav Moshe says the following thing then. Kosavti, I wrote that to call boys and girls with non-Jewish names is a davar maguna, ve'ena issa hu vaday emes uboro. So Rav Moshe doesn't like it. He calls it a davar maguna, but he says it is not asa. It's not asa to give a non-Jewish name, presumably taking the approach of the Maharik, unlike the Maharamshik. And he explains the following. He says it's probably most likely that when Jews started to adopt non-Jewish names, there was an outcry at the time. Mistoma. But these names became adopted within Jewish families, and they became like Jewish names. And I wrote, and we know, there are many Gedoyle Olam that had and went by non-Jewish names. You have Rabbeinu Vidal. You've got Rav Moshe ben Maimon, the Rambam's own father. It's called Maimon. What would the Rambam father have his father's name? Avav Shala Rambam. In the Rivash, in the Tshuvas of the Rivash, Rav Moshe counts no less than 25 names of Rabbonim and Gedolim and whatever else, say Shemus Talmidei Chachamim, that only had non-Jewish names. Shemus Rivash, in the Tshuvas Rivash, Timtza Erech Kaf, I don't believe Rav Moshe knows, 25 names in the Rivash, right? 25 names of Talmidei Chachamim that were non-Jewish names. We're not talking about that they had another name as well. Kinir Nohaya Lehem Elazel Shem Delaz Levan, they only had this name. They didn't have an additional non-Jewish, Jewish name as well as a non-Jewish name. They just had a non-Jewish name. And if you want to say that Vidal is a, he says Vidal, the name Vidal, for example, is a French translation of the word, the name Chaim. He says, yeah, but the word, the name Vidal is found amongst the Spanish Rabbonim and not the French ones. So it's not just like the Rogachava that says, well, if it's translation, it's okay, because in China it was a different language. Right? So it wasn't just a straight translation of the name Chaim. Fascinating observations over here. Okay, in fact, the name of Chaim, and anyone who speaks Spanish, a Veloshan Sfarad, Targum Chaim, who Vivanet.
Vivant.
Vivant, sorry, apologies. Vivant. Okay, now, Veloshan Machaben, Shofarach, Evelaez, of course, a lot of these things will come up. As we'll see in a few minutes in Hilchas Gittin, with writing non-Jewish names, and when names become forgotten or become used, etc. Okay, but the Rivash was a Sfardi, and everyone's called Vidal, when they should have been called Vivant, so it wasn't just a straight translation of the name. Okay. So that carries on with Moshe's on the last picture. Even if we say the names have meaning, Ha'im Mishvil Zeh Ein Shein Zeh Mishem Mishalachim Da Medina. Person wants to call his name, if a person wants to call his name, son Chaim, as a Simon Bracha, of course he should use Lashon HaKodesh, because it's the name the Malachi Asharis recognize. Of course one should use Jewish names wherever possible. Why is it then, says Rav Moshe, that the Jews adopted non-Jewish names? It was because we're in Golos. So they are Mishum HaSviva Sheva Golos. That the Jewish people, wherever they went in Golos, even Chachmei Torah, and when they were learning, They would speak in the language of the place where they lived. Bisfas Hamadina. When the Baalei Tosfos learned Torah, they said it. They learned in French. Says Reb Moshe. The Chachmei Tzarfas Dibru Velim Du Torah. But Mashi Tzukul Avayu Rav Tamidim. We're speaking English right now. The Baalei Tosfos spoke French. They spoke Rak Batzarfatit. And the Chachmei Sfarad, they spoke Arabic at the time because that was the language that was used in Spain at the time of the Rishonim. As we see, the Rif explains difficult sugyas in Arabic. The Rambam writes the Perish HaMishnayos in Arabic. Moran Avichim is written in Arabic. It's only the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, which he wants to make similar to the Mishnah itself, he writes in Lashon HaKodesh. But the Chachmei Tzarfas, even though they learned and they taught in French, they wrote, the works that they wrote, the Rashi and the Tosfos and the Rishonim, are written, not in Lashon HaKodesh, but in the Lashon of the Gemara, perhaps, more accurate to say. But the Chachmei Ashkenaz, also same thing, when they spoke Ashkenazis, and we'll see what that is in a minute, they wrote, however, in the Lashon of the Gemara. Of course, we know the fact that they did that meant that whoever you are and wherever you live, right, you can pick up a Gemara and you can learn it. You didn't know, imagine if all the Rishonim would have been writing in the language of where they lived, you'd have to be an expert in German and French and Arabic and Spanish. It would have been the Torah Mishtakach from Yisrael. So the Torah that was written in Netzach Netzachim, but the Shi'urim that they gave, right, that would have been in the language at the time. And then then Rav Moshe starts to talk about Yiddish and the way that Yiddish developed. And he says something fascinating. That there were, when they'd speak in their day-to-day matters and when they'd learn, they'd speak in and Sfas Ashkenaz. Sfas Ashkenaz, why is it that Yiddish was the language that became dominant amongst the Jewish people of Europe? He says it was Zoicha because of the bracha of Noach. Sfas Ashkenaz zachta mebirkas Noach, yafte lekim liyefes. And Ashkenaz, of course, comes from Yefes. So the beauty of Yefes is Sheichem ba'oihale Shem. Yeah, but one of the children of Yefes is Ashkenaz. What? Right, it comes from Ashkenaz. Okay, so now, he's saying like this. So what happens is, it wasn't just in Germany, of course we know there was historically a migration of the Jews from Germany to Eastern Europe, but they took their Yiddish language with them, but of course they adopted, they went to Poland and Russia, which although the Lithuania and Latvia and other countries, we've mostly discussed all about it, and of course as they went to their various countries, they developed different dialects of Yiddish, they borrowed words, languages borrowed from each other the whole time, they borrowed words from Russian or words from Polish. So you can have a Russian Yiddish can be different to a Polish Yiddish in certain words, but be'etzem it's the same language. Same thing in Hungary as well. It took on different dialects of Yiddish, but it was Yiddish that was the language that was used by the Jewish people. Now he says, even though most of Klal Yisrael spoke Yiddish, there were many of them who spoke only the language of the country they lived in, or many that were bilingual, they could speak Polish and Yiddish, or Russian and Yiddish, or Hungarian and Yiddish. And therefore, as a result of this, we start to adopt non-Jewish names that are just appropriate for the language they were living in and the culture they were developing. Second paragraph, third paragraph here. Most Jewish women's names, says Rav Moshe, were of non-Jewish origin. Which, by the way, makes perfect sense because there are very few women's names in Tanakh. Once you've got your Sorifkal Rachel Valer, right? Once you've got your Yechebeds and your Miriams, your Chanas, they are very, compared to the number of male names in Tanakh, there are very few female names in Tanakh. Okay, and therefore most women had names in the Lashon HaMedina. And he says, since they took on these names, and they actually became Jewish names, they became part of the family. And therefore, because these names were adopted at the time, later generations took on the names of the previous generation because of the idea of Kavod HaMishpacha, namely after grandmother Bluma. Is that a Jewish name? Shpacha. Doesn't matter. Once it became a nice name in the language that they were speaking anyway, that becomes a name that is used by Klal Yisrael. You're naming LeKavod, says Rav Moshe, of the Mishpacha. He does say, of course. Then the person asking him says, well, maybe it's just that there were certain names that were only used by Jews. Maybe it was only the Jews that used the name Bluma and Beryl. He says, it's not true. Right, presumably the non-Jews used these names as well. But these are Shemay Shahayu Bispas Anshayamadina, Gam Mishpacha Hayunir Yaf, and they seem like nice names. Not because the non-Jews were called that names, it was just a nice name to use. And therefore they used it. Now he does mention, of course, that you did have those that chooses to, especially chose non-Jewish names in order to assimilate. But Gam Harib Asu, Kishim was not, because it was like it was a big thing, sorry. In order they should find chayin in the eyes of their non-Jewish neighbors, and even though people tried to stop them, it didn't help. The tide of assimilation was so strong, and they didn't want to be right behind Chazin and Sheshirotz and Kara Shem because Shem was stuck, and they wanted to be called like the non-Jews. He then carries on. Rav Moshe finishes off his tshuva by saying the following thing. By the way, we'll come to it in a minute. V'dvar Hashem shekvar hushku b'Yisrael. Therefore, names that have been adopted by Jewish people are considered like Jewish names. And we find many Gedolei Yisrael that had names in other languages. You have Bear rather than Dov, Wolf or Velvel, not Zev, Mendel not Menachem, Laban not Aryeh. Even you have people whose Shem HaKadosh is Yehuda. You have those that are called Yehuda Laban. You have some that are just called Laban. Many names like it. Says Lekashem Kpeda. It's okay. Because these names are used by Klal Yisrael, Ma'achar Shehushko Shem HaSeil of Yisrael, Nech Shehud HaShemais Yisrael, they're called Jewish names. Rabichalal, Bashem is Arya, Dov, and Zeb, even though these words are Lashon HaKodesh. It could be though, and this is where it comes to be Negeya to Hilchas Ksubas and Hilchas Gittin, if a name is Nishtaka, if a name is forgotten, what name do you use? If a name is misspelt, what can you use? So Rav Moshe makes a chilek, he says only a name that is used in Tanakh has a din of a Shem Kodesh, but any name that is commonly used by Jewish people has got a din of a Shem Yisrael. And Rav Moshe then finishes off with his famous idea that what will be with the Medrash that says that the Jewish people were redeemed from Mitzrayim because they didn't change their names. Says number one, in the time of Bayis Rishon, in the Churban of Bayis Rishon, they did take on non-Jewish names, and they were still redeemed with a Bayis Sheni. He says the reason is because before the Torah was given, what did we have to keep us Jewish? All we had, we were an ethnic minority in Mitzrayim. Our name, our language, our ethnic, we didn't have the Torah yet. Once the Torah is given, it's the Torah that gives us our identity. And then says Rav Moshe, if you have a chance to be mashpia on someone that has a non-Jewish name and isn't observant at all, don't get them to change their name. Teach them emunah, teach them Torah, teach them mitzvahs. Because that's the ikkah. Once the Torah, before the Torah was given, the schus that we had is that we spoke our language and we kept our names. Once the Torah was given, the real schus that we have is keeping mitzvahs. So therefore, what we come out with saying is, we see we have a range, la halacha, from the Maharam Shik to the Maharik. Rav Moshe perhaps takes a little bit of a middle line and says, it's not Asa, it's Maguna, we should give Jewish names. By the way, I think it's very much Achshadara, that in our generation, for various different societal and social reasons, certainly in the Frum community, it is very Mekubal to give children Jewish names, and perhaps even Jewish names only. Very mukubal, that's an achshadara, but it seems to me it's a generational thing. Amongst the Yekkers, they even had a ceremony, a choltaych, of giving a non-Jewish name. There was different masuras within Klal Yisrael doing these things. So to say it's also, yes, there's the Maharam Shik, certainly not, right? Certainly not mainstream to say that it's also, because that's how you learn the Rambam. Rav Moshe takes somewhat of a middle line, but names that have become part of the Jewish nation, certainly are considered Jewish names, but a name that is Tanakh, that seems to be the best of the best, because that has a din of a Shem Kodesh, which has nafka minas for kesubas and forgetting.